Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. Well, I appreciate the music today. I appreciate the worship, the reminder of who God is. And we have a powerful message for today. But any message is not powerful unless God is moving through the audience. So I want to encourage you as you listen to this today to open your heart and spirit, because you didn't really come to hear from me and Pam. You really came in the hopes that God would break through into your life. Isn't that right? Yes. And isn't that what every one of us need, is a breakthrough in our life? I appreciate every week coming to church. You've ever heard the saying, out of sight, out of mind? If we don't come to church, we forget worship. If we don't come to church, we forget to be in the Word. We forget to pray. We even forget to walk with God. So everything is a reminder. I also want to remind you that as much as God has a dream for your life, and we're going to be talking about God dreams in your life, Satan also has a counterfeit dream. I call it replacement theory. For everything that God has for your life, Satan has a substitute. So God tells us that we should love God with all of our heart. The Bible says that we've lost our first love for Jesus. And so what Satan's plan would be to replace God dreams, Joseph dreams, that like God had for Joseph, replace God dreams with stupid dreams, with replace God dreams with cloud foolishness that will never come to pass. When you think about idolatry in the Old Testament, it was anything that could replace God. And it's interesting. It's always humorous in the Old Testament. God says, you have idols that can't speak, they can't walk, they can't talk, they can't hear, they don't have tongues. But we've upgraded the idols. They now speak. They now talk. They now occupy all of our time. It's called social media. But anything can be an idol. Anything that draws away your heart and your time can be an idol. And that's what's... Now, one more thing before I turn this over to Pam, because this goes along with our message. I was thinking about Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Not Mary, Jesus' mother, but Mary and Martha and Lazarus were brothers and sisters. Do you remember, what comes to your mind if you're on a Bible quiz, and if I say the words, Martha, Martha, right? When Jesus says, Pam, Pam, that's not a good one, you know? That's saying, oh, Pam. But what was Jesus, what was that about? Why was Jesus saying, oh, Martha? Because he told her, and this is so applicable to us today. First of all, she was worried about what other people were doing. You ever notice that we're worried about what other? But he told her, you are worried and upset about a great many things. I want to say that to you. There's lots of things in your life you're worried and upset about. But Mary has chosen the good part. So these distractions by the enemy, all these things you should be doing. Let me tell you what Mary said. Mary wasn't lazy. She knew those dishes would wait. When Jesus is in the house, the dishes wait. And she had chosen to recognize that Jesus was in the house. So you got to, first of all, recognize he's in the house. And second of all, you got to choose, say, I'm pushing aside all these other things because I'm choosing the good part, to be at the feet of Jesus and learn. And so that's my introduction for this wonderful message about the dreams of Joseph, which I love this.
Yes. You know, this really is something that we need to take to heart, that God gives everybody dreams. And, you know, there are, you know, we read a lot about dreams in the Bible, about when they came to pass. And if it is a God dream, it will surely come to pass. I want to say that to begin with. But sometimes we think when God gives us a dream on Sunday that it should come to pass on Monday morning, right? God gave me a dream. I'm going to be rich and famous. And Monday comes and I'm like, man, I ain't rich and famous. What was that all about? But I want to say something else. The dreams God gives you is not about you being so great. That's okay. It's about others. God wants to use you in his kingdom. And it may take, let me tell you something about Joseph, because I've studied him extensively, as you all know, from Monday night. It took 22 years before, from the time he had the dreams till the dreams came to pass. And 13 of those years were spent as a slave or in prison. Okay? So that doesn't sound fun, does it? But let me say something. In the end, the dream surely came to pass because God gave the dream. And people ask me all the time, does God still give dreams to people? Let me read it to you. Acts 2:17. In the last days, today, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, not might, not maybe, not could, will prophesy. Your young men will see dreams and your old men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And I have to tell you that I know so many people who have had dreams and those dreams came to pass. Recently, very recently, my daughter had another dream, and it was a dream significant about something not so pleasant going on in someone's life. And because God has given her dreams before and they have come to pass, I took heart and I didn't say a word to anybody. And that dream is coming to pass as I speak. Let me tell you, when God speaks, but here's the thing about dream that God gives us. And by the way, we're going to be studying in the days and the weeks ahead about Joseph. Joseph had to pass 10 tests. Let me just go through them quickly and we're going to study them. The pride test, the pit test, the palace test, the purity test, the prison test, the prophetic test, the power test when you have power, the prosperity test when you have control of prosperity, and finally the pardon test, the forgiveness test. And we're going to go through some of those things. But God surely gave Joseph a dream. But when I ask, does God still give dreams today and in this decades and generations before, as I was preparing this, I started asking God, what about dreams of recent or in the years that I have lived or known of? Have you given dreams? And he directed me to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his famous speech wasn't titled, I Have Some Thoughts, I Have Some Things I've Been Thinking About. What did he say? I have a dream. So I'm going to ask you, where did he get the dream? Where did he get the dream? Because as I read the dream, I read it last night and I sat at my desk with my head down, weeping. Let me tell you something about a cool thing about God giving you a dream. The dream will outlive the dreamer. The dream that Dr. King had is still alive today. We have hope because God gave that man a dream. And it was a God dream if I ever read a dream. And it was so cool because he wrote it down. He gave it in 1963 at the Lincoln Memorial. And let me tell you something about his dream and that he wrote it down. This speech, even today, touches hearts and shakes all of hell. It literally shakes hell because the dream didn't die just because he died. If God gave you a dream, my daughter, I told you, had a dream. If she should pass away, she's in the basement somewhere. Who knows what could happen down there. If she should go home today, now, that dream will still come to pass. The dream will outlive the dreamer. Why? Because it's not a Sandra dream. It's not an Isabel dream. It's not a Carmen dream. It's not a Willie dream. It's not a Tony dream. It's a God dream. It's a God dream, and that's what I'm asking for. And let me tell you something else. People are going to mock your dreams. You go ahead, Ken. You tell him about how you'd like to write a book. You just tell him he'd like to write a book. Oh, is he a writer? Since when is he a writer? What's he going to write about? Oh, that ought to be good. They will mock your dream. They will put you down. Especially if it's a God dream, and let me tell you why. Because the enemy was trying to stop the dream more than the dreamer. He had to get to the dreamer to do it. But he was trying to stop the dream because the brothers said, they'd never said, here comes Joseph, let's get Joseph. They said, here comes that dreamer. They were ticked about the dreams that God has given them. And he told them the dreams. But let me tell you, and I've said this to our class before, you have to activate a dream that God gives you. First of all, you can't sit on it and just say, I got a dream from God. I'm just going to sit here, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Being obedient to God, being faithful to God, is activating the dream that God has given you. And that's your part in that is your part in the dream. But I just have to tell you, these brothers came against him, and they came against him hard, but it did not stop Joseph. Why? Because he passed every one of those tests that I talked about, the pride test, the pit test, the palace test. How do you handle the dream when it seems like it's not going to come true, and all of a sudden you find yourself as far away from being bowed? The dream was that the brothers would bow before him. You find yourself so far away from. Not only are they not bowing, they just sold me into slavery. The dream is still true because it's a God dream.
So I wanted to say that this church, whose church is this? This is God's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. The success of this church, he looks after this church. And I believe that there have been dreams for this church that God has had for many years. And we've had times of prosperity. We've had times when it was smaller. But our job is to stay here, to stay at our post, to keep that cross on the wall, so to be available for God to move in our life. God has dreams for your life. He had dreams for Joseph's life. Notice when you were talking about people mocking dreams, do you know that most of the people that will knock your dreams are Christians? Isn't that weird? That it's not the world mocking it, it's Christian. It was Joseph's brothers and sisters who called him that dreamer. They couldn't rejoice with him. Now, I want to say this about spiritual gifts. I believe in spiritual gifts. I believe in miracles. I believe in speaking with tongues. I believe in prophecy. I believe in interpretation. I believe in dreams. But I also live by this principle, and if it is not real, I don't want it. If it's not real, I don't want it. I just want to say from experience, from a lifetime of experience, that anything that's real, there's a counterfeit for. I have seen enough counterfeit Christianity, counterfeit prophecy, counterfeit dreams. Don't be impressed by someone that can tell you all sorts of prophecies and speak all sorts of flowers in your life, and we're so wanting a move of God. I remember Brother Bill talking about, he was preaching, he had a mint in his mouth, and he started to choke on the mint. He's like, everyone's like, oh, hallelujah. They were just so sure that that was a move of God because he couldn't. That shows you two things. People are hungry for anything, right? And Sister Glenda told us in Mexico, she said, I want to tell you something. She said, whatever you tell these people, they're going to believe you. If you tell them you had lunch with an angel, they're going to believe you. If you tell them that people are going to float in the air, they're going to believe you. But that's the thing with trying to help God out with anything. What is attractive to me in ministry isn't someone that can give you a bunch of prophecies, and that's a danger. I know I'm on a bunny trail, but I'll get off it, I promise you. But don't be impressed by someone that tells you about all the angels they have lunch with. I'm skeptical about someone that meets with Jesus every day and hears from Jesus every day and sees angels every day and they don't have a job. I want to see people that are solid in their life. And you don't hear me talking about visiting angels. You know why? I've never visited an angel, not that I know of. But when I do, I'm going to say, church, I visited an angel, and I don't have a 30-year history of visiting angels. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to help God out. I've seen so much of that garbage where people just want to prophesy to people and just give them these words. If it's not God, I don't want it. Believe me, if it's God, I want it. And someone says, oh, our church needs to be more Pentecostal. And to that I say, amen. Amen. I want the move of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want the move of Ken. I don't want the move of Pam. I don't want the move of man. I don't want us to hype anything that's not hyped. I don't want us to pretend God's moving when he's not. I don't want people falling down just because they think it'll be cool to fall down. I don't want anything fake because it puts people in the wrong areas. I want God dreams, Joseph dreams, where that was a God dream, not a man dream, not a stupid dream, not I want to be rich dream, not I want to own an airplane dream. It was, I'm going to turn this back to Pam here.
Okay, I've got the scripture for you. Got it pulled up. Deuteronomy 13:2-3. And if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, that means if someone has a sign and wonder and it actually happens, but they say, let us follow other gods and let us worship them. You must not even then listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer, though it came to pass. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and all your soul. Hey, you got to be living right. You got to be doing it right. You got to be loving God. You got to be honoring God above the dream, above the there's something greater than the prophecy. And there's something greater than the prophet. And there's something greater than the dream. There's something greater than the dreamer, him. Him. We have to look to him or we will get caught in a trap of false fire, false prophecy. And let me tell you something while I'm on the subject. I heard this about a year ago. Someone told me that someone had made a remark that our church was a dry church. And here's what I said. I would rather have a dry church built on a solid foundation, which is the word of God, which, by the way, is not dry if your heart is open, than false fire. Do not bring your false fire and gimmicks here. We want him, and like Pastor Ken said, it must be real. Because when I get sick, I need a real healer. I don't need a false, don't send me to no charlatan. Send me to Jesus, the real healer. I want what's real. And, you know, the enemy couldn't stop the dreams of Joseph, no matter that they took long. And there really is such a thing as counterfeit, like Pastor Ken said. And I heard this before, and you've heard it before, but let's repeat it one more time. In the bank, in the banking industry, in the financial industry, when they are training their tellers, they teach them how to recognize the real. They deal with the real. They do not study counterfeit dollar bills. Here's why. There are thousands and thousands and hundreds of false idols and false counterfeit dollar bills, 100 bills, 50s. But if you will stick to the real and study the real with due diligence, you will never, ever fall for a false $50 bill. If he hands me a $50 bill, I'll go, here's your Monopoly money back. I got something that's real. His name is Jesus Christ. That's real. And so we do need to understand that we are not to even pursue the dream. And by the way, this is a mistake the world makes all the time. You got a dream? Oh, if that dream's in your heart, run for it. Run. No, you pursue the giver of the dream, not the dream. Don't focus on the dream. Don't focus on the gift. Focus on the giver. Focus on the giver of the dream, and he will surely bring it to pass. Now, that's the Bible. That's not Pam. That's the Bible. And he will surely bring that thing to pass. Not me. I don't kick doors down. I don't go to the recording studio and say, I'm here. I'm here. God, give me a dream. Can I sing? I continue to work. I continue to boots on the ground. And I believe that we pursue the giver of the dream. And Joseph did something very interesting. While he was in prison, he could have said, my dream died. I can't stand you, God. What was that all about? My brothers are against me. This, and he could have sat there complaining. But instead, when the opportunity came and someone else had a dream, they gave them their dream. And he could have said, I ain't going to tell you what your dream means. My own dream didn't even come to pass. He said, I'm going to interpret that dream. He did it for two people. He continued serving God while he was in prison. And because he interpreted someone else's dream, because I get behind Pastor Ken and his dream, let me tell you something, then God will bring mine to pass. And Joseph immediately got promoted when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He was promoted above Potiphar. Of course, it made his wife angry. We know what happened there. But there are three life lessons I want to go through real quickly. Three life lessons we learned from the story of Joseph, the account of Joseph, that we need to know. Number one, God will lift you up right in front of the people that push you down. He will literally elevate you in front of the people that push you to the ground. But I want to tell you what he says. He says, I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And we like to go, wow, Ken, they're going to all see how good, how God loves us and how they're going to get what's coming to them. And he says, I will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. I want to say something about that. I do not believe that God prepares a table in the presence of your enemies only to see how great you are and how awful they are. Here's what I believe is a revelation God gave me by the Holy Spirit. I believe it is for two reasons. One, to vindicate you and clear your name. But the second and more important is God wants to show your enemies by preparing a table for you in front of them what is available to them also. That's what he wants to show them. This table is available to you. So here's what I say. When God prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, I will tell them, would you like to pull up a chair and come sit at the table of the Lord where you belong to? Number two, the second life lesson. God will so bless you that the people who hated you and felt they had no need of you, that did not even recognize you, God will so resurrect you that they will discover that I need that person. That will be the person that comes to you and says, I need you now. But it takes a resurrection, and you have to go through some tests to prove that you can handle the dream. God's not going to hand you the dream on a silver platter and just snap his fingers like that. You're going to have to prove your faithfulness to handle what he has given you. Do you know that's why God doesn't give a lot of people just big, big, big finances? It would ruin them. It would wreck them. The same thing with the dream. He's got to test you. We have to go through the testing. God resurrected Joseph. He so resurrected Joseph that his brothers did not even recognize him when they saw him. And that's my prayer for you, by the way, that when you meet that old, like they said to me when at the high school reunion when they announced I was a minister, they were just like, you know. Let me tell you something. That's what my prayer is for you, that you will meet somebody who knew you back in the day, back in the hood, and they know what you did, and they're going to look at you and they're going to go, I didn't even recognize you. Wow, I didn't even recognize you, Ken. Is that really you? That's what happened to Joseph because God resurrected him. Christ did not look the same after he was resurrected.
You ever want something so bad, a thing? You wanted a thing, whether it was a computer or a car or a watch or a dress. There was something that just captivated your heart. And you wanted that thing so bad that it was you were lusting for that thing. But and I want to just say this, that all humans can relate to this. By the way, none of that's on the screen. I'm off in the middle of bunny world here. Have you ever gotten what you wanted and then thought, well, this isn't what I thought it would be? You know what I mean? Or maybe you did get that dream car. And that's 3 years later, and, you know, you got Diet Coke bags and McDonald's bags. You got food in the back. And not if, but what I'm saying, and maybe you wanted a person, that you kicked down the world to get a person in your life. But you can have a desire for things that when you get them, you realize this was a stupid dream. I know of someone that spiritually told me what their dream was that they had from God. And I knew that that wasn't from God. The dream was that God was going to send them, was going to make them rich. And they carried this around with them. We prayed over it like 5 times a day, an envelope, to bring in the riches. Do you know they did that for over 30 years? And as far as I know, they're still doing that. How sad that Satan can take a man dream and say it's a God dream and then have us pursue that thing. And anyone can fall for this trap. Solomon, I believe, wrote Ecclesiastes, isn't that right, Pam? And if Solomon can fall for traps, which he did, what was Solomon's trap? The things of this world. Can you believe that the richest man that's ever lived, that his, and the wisest, but that his weakness was gold? He already had. He wanted gold. You have everything and you want gold and women. Okay. And cows. I get the cows a little bit, you know. I'm talking steak here. But even in our own lives, I'll give you a mini example. And this might not seem like a big thing, but some things hit you when God talks to you. You know, I love airplanes. And I saw this video of these new Cessnas. Oh, man, just beautiful. And I was just thinking, wow, could you imagine how awesome that would be if you had enough money that you could own a plane like that, a brand new. And I was thinking about that. And I thought that would be cool. And that's harmless enough. That would be cool. But later, out of the blue, it's like as I was praying, God brought that back to me. This whole thing that I just told you about, you want something so bad and then you get it. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, if you had that, why do you want that? What would be, in other words, he was letting me know that was a foolish dream. Not a sinful dream. Come on, there's nothing wrong with wanting nice things. But I'm giving that as an example of anything in your life that could take away your first love. We go crazy over human beings. And okay, fine. Whether we have heroes that are singers and we would wait in the rain for 10 hours to get tickets and stand with 200,000 other people to hear so-and-so. I won't name names because I don't want to step on your toes, but I don't care who it is. You got some singer that you're traveling 30 hours to drive and be in the rain and see this person sing. I just want to know, do you have any of that same passion for Jesus that you have for that person? Can't we see that, oh my goodness, that's, or do we excuse, anyway, I'll get off that, I'm going to get off that, just to say in my life, I've got to guard against that. Those desires, those dreams that are not of God, you know it's a dream of God when it advances the kingdom. When you're saying, I have a dream of people being saved. I have a dream of people being set free. I have a dream of people being fed. Those are God dreams. You don't have to worry. But when I say, I saw a giant building and on the top it said in bold neon letters, Ken Bonner Ministries. You can go, no, that's Ken. That's the dumbest dream I ever heard. Ken Bonner Ministries. Whatever happened to Jesus Christ Ministries? What is so that, but that would you? But Joseph had this dream, and his brothers wanted to stop it. He was hated by everyone. And I want to say to this to those of you that may be persecuted for your dreams. If God is for you, does it really matter who's against you? If God is for you, And I also want to say this about Joseph's dreams. So God had let him know, what was Joseph's dream? Remember, there was the 7 years of famine that was coming. That they had to, first there was going to be all the years of plenty, and they had to store all the corn. Then there was the famine. Then there was the fat cows that got eaten by the skinny cows. So God was letting Joseph and everyone in Egypt know that there was a time of famine coming. So it was, and that Joseph was going to be promoted. And Joseph, so God gave Joseph a God dream. And Satan did everything he could to replace that. So first he gets sold into slavery. Now watch this. When things don't go your way, when you serve God and you say, I've come to church, I pay my tithes, I read my word, I worship God, and look what happened to me, Freda. I did all this for God. For years I did this. And, well, if God's going to treat me that way, I've been sold into slavery. Isn't the temptation to say, if God, but see, what he should have said, what God would have told him is, you have to be sold into slavery because that's how you're going to be second in the kingdom. You're going to be in the prison. I got it all laid out. I got the plan. Just, Joseph, keep the vision. Don't replace it with another vision. And here comes Potiphar's wife. Couldn't Joseph have said, if this is the way God does me, my family does me, they sold me into slavery, they left me for dead, now I'm a servant in this person's house. This woman has come, yep, might as well throw it all away. And I will say this, if he had done that, or when he got in prison, if he had abandoned God, at any time if he had abandoned God's dream, I would not have blamed Satan and say, Satan brought Potiphar's wife. I would have said of Joseph, he chose that, knowing what he chose. So we know what God has for our life. Don't let the enemy get you to choose something else.
We're going to transition just a little bit here. Joseph's dream has now come true. I have a question. How do you handle those who came against you, who opposed you, who rejected you, who really tried to stop you from ever getting ahead in life? They just kept pushing you down. Things kept happening. How do you handle the dream when it does come to pass? And when God pours out his blessing on you and his goodness, how do you handle those other people when they find themselves in a very broken place? Here's the situation. And remember, I told you that Joseph had to pass all these tests we're going to talk about in the days ahead. He had to pass all those tests, and he did, because Joseph is actually a type of Christ. But remember what happened to Joseph. The father sent Joseph out to the brothers, and Joseph never got to go back. They were not faithful with handling him. But Joseph is going to give them a test in telling the brothers, I want you to go and get the other brother, Benjamin, his other blood brother. And here's the thing. Isn't that an interesting test? I want to see if you can get back here with him, because you didn't do me right. You got back here with him. And here's the thing. They had no choice but to do it, because they were in a hard, hard, desperate situation. How do you handle your enemies when they're desperate? If they don't bring the brother, they don't get food. And they may even be killed by Joseph. You can either die by the hand of Joseph, the leader of the land, or you can die with no food, or you can play by the rules and you can obey. Remember, Joseph is a type of Christ. Or you can obey. That's the other choice. Now, I want you to remember, the Bible says that all the nations had to come to Joseph at that time for food. There was no Tony's Grocer. There was no Jewel. There was no Pete's Market, no Walmart. It was only Joe's Finer Foods. That's where you went. If you didn't go to Joe's Finer Foods, you didn't get nothing. And so you had to do what Joe said. It's a terrible situation for them to be in. But it was a powerful, powerful test. Are you going to obey God? And sometimes I want to tell you about the brothers, because sometimes in the story, we're not Joseph. We want to think that we're Joseph. I had the dream. They come and bow to me, da, da, da. You know, I am the Joseph, the one who had the dream. Sometimes you're the brother. Sometimes you're the brothers who done somebody wrong, and you need Joseph. Let me tell you something. We need Jesus. We all have to come to Jesus for food. Remember, Joseph's the type of food. We all have to come to Jesus because we're the brothers. Because we're the brothers who did other people wrong, who sold our brother out, and it's time for us to come to Jesus. And sometimes it's good when we get in a place like that. Because only then we're really going to come to Jesus and see where our source is.
So just kind of to recap, because I'm going to make this my last thing. We talked about spiritual pride. Boy, I don't want any of that in my life. I would rather people say, well, he wasn't operating in the gifts all the time, but he was genuine. Like Pam said, I'd rather just be real. I do want spiritual gifts operating in my life, but I want to be real. I definitely don't want pride in my life, and I'm not going to be impressed with anyone just because they talk the talk, if they don't walk the walk. Paul was, you know, look at the Bible ministries. There were no superstar ministries. There were no superstar pastors. Paul wasn't a superstar. You go, come on, he was Paul. He was a superstar. No, he said, he didn't hardly have a place to live. He said he was cold. He was beaten. He was hungry. He was tired. He was thrown in prison. He was whipped. Paul did not have a private jet. Just be who you are, who God made you. We don't need to have bragging rights about anything. I told you I used to kind of not like going out with all the pastors because sometimes it would devolve into a bragging of, well, this person did that and this person did that. And I always found it amusing. I think I shared this once. I was with a breakfast with about eight other pastors. And, man, they were just talking about, one pastor said, yeah, he goes, we spent $20,000 and we installed stage lighting. That's just, oh, you can, it's just amazing. And they were all talking, and they was kind of going around. And I said, well, we in the women's bathroom, we had a light fixture out. And I said, and I installed a new light, so we got that done. Don't feel like you have to help out God or brag. Just be who you are. Now watch this. Joseph has to be Joseph. The boy, the man that God made him, he's got to be that. Notice when Gabriel was asked who he was, you know, I think this was John the Baptist's father, is that right? Anyway, that it doesn't matter. So Gabriel's talking and he says, who are you? And Gabriel answers, I'm Gabriel. What do you mean, Zechariah? What do you mean, who am I? You want ID? So Gabriel is Gabriel. And Joseph has to be Joseph. Jesus was, they said, well, that you some are saying that you're the Messiah, that you're the Son of God. He said, you said it. He knew who he was. He had to be Jesus. And Saul had to become Paul. And Abram had to be Abraham, and he had to be Abraham, and Moses had to be Moses. And God, when Moses said to God, now, who, when they asked for ID, you know, who's saying all these things? Who do I tell them? And God's like, I'm God. What do you mean, who am I? I am who I am. There is no other ID. I am. You know, it's like, this is it. You want something else? God has created you gentle and kind and loving and honest and passionate about God. And that's who you are, and that's who you have to be. Be who God created you to be and get rid of all, you know, you're talking about dreams. Pam was sharing a year or so ago that her daughter was having a dream that she said was real common about the teeth. That she said several people had dreams that they didn't have any teeth. And you want to finish this or? Okay. You want me to go play or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, it's always wonderful to come and minister. Never refuse. One last thing. I was thinking, because I work with the military all the time, so I was thinking military examples. There's several classes of military, but the two major classes are active duty or reserves, or guard and reserves. So you can be active duty, which means you're always on duty, even when you're not, you're never not on duty. You're always in the military when you're active duty, 24 hours a day. And then there's the reserves. I want to tell you, God doesn't have reserves. He has active duty. Now, here's some things that everyone on active duty has in common. Number one, everybody has a permanent address. Because you're going to move around a lot with your orders. But you've got to have a permanent address. Church, you are in God's military, His army, His kingdom. And one, you're active duty. Right? You're not in the reserves. Two, you have a permanent address. Remember that. Because when all is said and done, they want to know where to ship your stuff. It's you have a permanent address. And number three, everybody in the military has orders. Right? You know, such thing as being in the military without orders. God has a dream for you. You got to find out what those orders are. And number four, when you're in the military, do you know that there's a full-time health plan? And do you know that that health plan covers everything? While you're in the military, everything you need, so we belong to God's kingdom. We've got to remember that. All right, so tell the story about the teeth.
Okay, I'll tell you about the dream that Sandra had. Some of you have heard it, some of you have not. God really does use her in dreams. It has happened before. It's kind of interesting, though, that she will have a dream and not know what it means. Several times that has happened, and she would bring it to me, and I would have the interpretation, and I knew. And this was the case, but she had, for several years, she had had this repeated dream, and it troubled her. And I know so because I'm with her all the time, and she would bring it up from time to time. I had the dream again. And she dreamed that all her teeth were falling out, that her teeth were just coming out, and she would dream that frequently. And one day, I was driving along, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, I even know where I was. I was over on 55th Street. I was right near where Tim Rawson's old apartment was. I knew exactly where I was. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, would you like to have the interpretation of her dream? And I just kind of answered, yes, I would. And because other people had tried to interpret it, it means you're having new ministry and new birth, new teeth, new children. You know, your old teeth come out, the new ones come in. The Holy Spirit just basically told me that's not it. Her dream means that Sandra has had a bite. She has had a sharp bite when she says things to people. It wasn't a great interpretation, I didn't think. That when she says things to people, it's snippy, it's catty at times, it's hard. It's hard when she's like, what do you think? What do you think? You know, things like that. I'm removing her bite. That's what the Holy Spirit said. I'm removing that. I'm putting my spirit in her, and her teeth are falling out to where when she speaks, people will be able to receive the love and the kindness, which is her true heart. So I shared that with the congregation on a Sunday morning about 10 years ago. And after it was over, I had no less than 5 people that came to me, 2 of them privately, the other 3 just came in a circle and said, I have that dream all the time. And I told them what, you know, well, that's what it means. I'm so sorry. And they were crying. Everybody cried. And so I called a relative of mine and I said, hey, we just had the coolest thing happen. My daughter, you know, she had this dream and I interpreted this dream. And there was dead silence on the other end. And there was crying. And the girl said, I have that dream all the time. And I know that the things I say to other people can be so unkind and so harsh. And I said, well, God wants to do this for you. And so many people have come. But I just say that to Ken asked me to share that because God does give dreams and visions. And He's still the one interprets those. And He gave that dream to Sandra because He loves her. But as we close, I want to tell you one more thing. In the story of Joseph, this touched my heart. As the brothers stood before him, I want you to picture Joseph. Here I am, Joseph. I am the leader in the land now. My name is Joseph. You don't recognize me, I've changed so much. God's done so much in my life. But what they didn't know is I recognize you. You're my haters. You're the people who talked behind closed doors. I recognize all of you. That's what Joseph was thinking in his heart. But God had one final test for him. These brothers did not come here to repent. I want you to understand that. They came for food. They came because they're hungry. And I want to read you a verse, the one final test. It's found in Romans 12, 20. Therefore, let's stand. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. May the fire of God come upon the heads of our enemies because we choose to feed them. They did not come to repent. They came because they were hungry. So this is the final test that we all will have at some time in our life. When your enemy comes not to repent, but because he's hungry and he needs something. I need $50. I need $300. I need food for my children. Will you be a Joseph in honor of Jesus, our Joseph, and feed your enemies? Let's come forward and let's just recommit our lives to be obedient to God, that all of our dreams that he gives us may come true. Anyone who has a dream in their heart, a desire to serve God, even if it means feeding your enemies. Father, we just thank you, Jesus, that we ask that you would use us, Lord, in your kingdom. Father God, we ask that when our enemies come and they come for food, they don't come to repent. They come for food, that we will say, this is what we do. Because God made our dreams come true. May he make every dream in your heart come true. May he continue to use you in his kingdom. And may he let you have the honor. It is an honor to feed not your friends, not your family, but your enemies. Father, we thank you. We are humbled by the life of Joseph and the account of in the Bible. See it. And may we pass every test that you give. Father God, may the people that stand before you be used powerfully of God. We are imperfect people, Father God. We are sinners, but you're a Savior, Father God. Father God, we are sick, but you're a healer. Father God, we are bound, but you are our deliverer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Father God, use us just like you used Joseph. Give us dreams and visions, signs and wonders, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's just worship him for a moment.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.